We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
We appreciate fathers. Especially we appreciate godly fathers. And there is an extreme shortage of godly fathers in our country. And part of the reason the country is in the shape that it's in is because we don't have the fathers that we need to have. There is an issue of U.S. News and World Reports, and it has a cover story entitled, Why Fathers Count. And it begins with some most intriguing lines. Listen to what it says. It says, Dad is destiny. More than virtually any other factor, a father's presence in the family will determine a child's success or failure. It goes on to say, fatherless is the most destructive trend in our generation. And it closes with the words, real progress will only come when there is a renewed conviction that being a loving father and a good husband is the best part of being a man. Now that's very interesting to me because this wasn't written in a brotherhood journal. This was not written in something that is even religious in nature. This is a secular writing, a secular news magazine. And they have determined, just by observation, the importance of the father. I want to suggest to you this morning that great congregations start with great homes. And great homes start with great fathers. Fathers leading and being what they ought to be. Now, sometimes people might say, why another sermon on the home? Why another sermon on mothers or fathers? You know, we have those all the time. Give us some biblical topics. Certainly, this is biblical. Certainly, this is foundational to the moral principles of the church and to the home. And certainly, it is a very important Bible subject. Now, today is a day that our society has chosen to honor fathers. And it's not a religious day. There's no passage in the Bible that says you have to have a day to honor fathers. But I think it's a good thing that they're doing. You know, Exodus chapter 20, back in the Old Testament, the Bible said honor your fathers and also your mothers. But we're talking about fathers today. And so what I've done today is I have put together a sermon, an acrostic sermon, on what it means to be a good father. And I have spelled out the word father, taken each letter of the word father, and each letter is going to represent a point. And each one of these involves what it means to be a good father. A good father is, number one, a man who fears God. Now, as I put this together, I worked very hard to do this, to make this the first point. Because I believe that this is the most important quality that a father can have. I had a man ask me one time. He said, do you think that I'm a good father to my children? Well, he wasn't a Christian. He had no use for religion. He seemed to love his children and he provided for them and he cared about them and things like that. But he had no moral values as far as God was concerned. And so I wanted to be truthful with him. I wanted to tell him something that was going to help him. And so what I said to him was, though it's the case that you provide for your children and you show concern and love for your children, I got to tell you the truth. I don't really think you're a good father. Well, he was hurt by that. And what I explained to him was this. Being a good father starts with taking your children to heaven. That is the most important thing for a father. You know, a man might attend to the physical needs of his family. He might provide them with the finer things of life and send them to expensive schools and expensive colleges and get them the best of educations. He might be one who believes that he's going to give his children things so that they can have better than he does. But though he gives them all these things, if he doesn't give them God, he's really not a good father. A good father begins with being a father who fears God. Now, what do we mean by fears? We've talked about this in several sermons recently, but the word fear means to honor, to have reverential awe, trembling at the majesty of God. It means that you respect God and His Word and you're serious about that. And if a man doesn't have that, he can't properly fulfill what it means to be a father. You know, listen to these two passages. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." You want to know anything in this life that matters? It begins with the fear of God. Listen to this passage. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now you put those together, what do you get? The beginning of knowledge is fearing God. The conclusion of the matter is fearing God from the beginning to the end. It involves fearing God. And if a man doesn't do that, he has missed the very purpose he was put on this earth for. That's what Solomon said. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is what it's all about. This is why you're here. If a man doesn't teach that to his children, can you really say he's been a good father? He provided them some stuff in this life, but he hasn't really been a good father to them. So point number one, a good father is a man who fears God. He respects the Word, and his children can see that. Number two, to be a good father is a man who attends to the needs of his family. Now, immediately when you think about attending to the needs of the family, what do you think about? You think about the physical needs. And you think about, you know, they have to have clothes to wear, and they've got to have food to eat, and they've got to have a roof over their head, all the typical stuff we think about. And that's true. I'm not downplaying that. You know, the Bible even says that a man who won't perform these most basic of functions, the Lord has something to say about him. You know what it says? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if a man will not provide for his own, especially they of his own house, it says he has denied the faith. He's a Christian man. He's denied the faith. He's essentially washed his hands and said, I'm not a Christian. He's denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. Now, somebody might say, yeah, you're taking that out of context. The context there is about widows. It's about caring for widows. That's right. It's about widows. But what it's saying is if you have someone in your family and she's a widow and you won't provide for her, the concept is a man provides for his family. He takes care of their physical needs. And the Bible says if you won't do that, you're sorry. He says you've denied the faith. You might as well wash your hands and walk away from Christianity, because he doesn't say you're on the same level as an unbeliever. He says you're worse than an unbeliever. Now, why is that? In what sense would a man be worse than an unbeliever? Even the unbelievers provide for their family. Even unbelievers give their children food to eat. If a man is so lazy, and you know there are various reasons a man might not provide for the physical needs of his family. Maybe a man's just lazy, and so he doesn't want to get a job. Well, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. Maybe he's just selfish. Maybe he's too consumed with himself and what he wants, and he spends the money on his hobbies and his desire, and he doesn't provide. It doesn't matter the reason. Now, we're not talking about a man who's laid up and can't. We're talking about a man who chooses not to provide for his own family. Some men don't even try. We live in a society where we've got a lot of deadbeat dads who know how to father children, but they don't know how to be a father to their children. And if a man won't provide and take care of his own, Bible says he is in sorry condition. Now, when we think about giving children what they want, the things that they need, we need to think about this. I think sometimes people have gotten the idea that if a man provides for his children, that means that whatever comes up, they're going to let him have it. That's what being a good father is about, right? Whatever comes along, you need to give it to him. Sometimes it means just the opposite. Sometimes it means not giving your children what they want. Sometimes it means withholding from them physical possessions. Sometimes I need to withhold things to make them appreciate. Sometimes I need to make them earn it so that they can learn what it means to work and to earn a living. Our society's got this concept, you just give everything, and if you don't, you're not a good father. Sometimes being a good father means the opposite. But a good father, he'll provide for the needs of his children, the needs of his children. You know, Matthew 7:9, Jesus said, what man is there among you, if his son ask him bread, will he give him a stone? And if he ask him fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that ask him? He says, here's a good father. His son asks him for bread, and he gives it to him. He asks for a fish, and he gives it food, the things that he needs. Now, all that being said, a good father attends to the needs of his children. But you see in the pictures that I put up here, they don't portray a man working and putting food on the table. They don't portray a man putting a roof over the heads of his family. The reason I chose these pictures is there is another side to attending to the needs of the family. There's more than putting food on the table. Sometimes children just need daddy. You know, U.S. News and World Reports even sees this. They need their daddy. They need him with them. Now, you know what that translates into? It translates into time. They need you around. They need your care. They need to know that you care. They need to know that you're interested. Sometimes daddies get so concerned with their work and their hobbies that they're not there and they don't attend to the needs of the family. Sherry and I were listening, watching a television program the other night, and they were going through the 40 greatest soft rock songs of all time, supposedly. One of those songs was The Cat's in the Cradle. I think Harry Chapin was the one that did that song. But somebody commented about this song, and they said it's a hit song about being a sorry dad. And if you remember the song, if you know the words to the song, that's what it's about. The man in the song, he cared about his son, at least he seemed to, but he never had time for him. His son came and said, spend some time with me. He said, I can't. I got to work. I've got all these things to do. A good father is going to attend to the needs of his children. And that means making time for them. It means making time for them. If you just wait for it to happen, sometimes it doesn't happen. All right, let's move on here. Next, a good father is a man who trains his children. He's a teacher. Now listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. It begins by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. But listen to verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's interesting to me that he says, ye fathers. He doesn't say mothers. Why not? Do the mothers not have a responsibility here? Of course they do. But he says, ye fathers, train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ultimately, that responsibility lies with daddy. Now, what does it mean to train your children? Incidentally, notice that he says there's a right way to do this and there's a wrong way to do this. He says, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, how could a man do that? How could a father provoke his children to wrath? Maybe he disciplines them, but maybe he is so excessively severe that it just makes them bitter. Man could do that, provoke his children to wrath. Maybe a man could discipline his children, but it's not out of true concern. Rather than they've done something wrong and he sits them down and he says, now son, I'm going to have to give you spanking because you did this and it wasn't right. And I want you to learn their consequences for your action. But that's not what he does. Maybe it turns out that his children are talking while he's trying to watch TV and they're interrupting him. And just out of anger, he gets his belt out and spanks his children. And they see there was no love and concern and training behind that. They got a spanking out of anger. You think that might provoke a child to wrath? Now, he says there's a good side to this. There's a right way to do it. And that is to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. As fathers, the Lord says the buck stops here, we might say. Ultimately, it's your responsibility. We are responsible. And if the job doesn't get done, it's on the shoulders of daddy. But you know, so often, you know who's doing it? So often, it's mama who's doing the teaching. And a lot of times, it's not because daddy can't. It's not because he doesn't have time. It's not because he's working. A lot of times, I tell you what I see in our neighborhood. Weekend comes, and I see the people that live around me. The men pack up their boats. They load up their fishing poles, and they go. They're out with their buddies. And you know where the kids are? They're at home with mama. Where's daddy? The time he's got time off. Oftentimes, daddies aren't daddies because they're out fishing with their buddies and they're watching the ball games or playing the video game, whatever their particular hobby may seem to be. But being a good father involves intentional effort. It's effort. It means I've got to work at it. I've got to make the time. Now, training my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, training involves them watching me sometimes. They need to see me pray. You know, there are some men who act like they are embarrassed to pray at home, like it's not a manly thing or something. I tell you something, if you act like it's not manly to pray and you portray it that way, your son is going to grow up and you know what he's going to think? It's not manly to pray. And he's going to be ashamed of his Christianity. Children need to see a strong, resolute daddy who's not ashamed of being a Christian, who practices what he preaches. He goes in public and he bows his head and he leads a prayer. He gets in the car on Sunday morning and he's got his shirt and his tie and his Bible in his hand and he's going to worship. And if other people see him, good. That's good. That's what they need to see. Now, I guess I ought to mention something about discipline as well. Because when you talk about training your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians 6:4 says, the Greek word here, nurture, carries with it the idea of instruction, discipline, correction, chastening. The word admonition refers to training done by word, and the word nurture refers to training done by action. And so both in word and action, daddy is to train his children. Now, that's interesting to me, both by what I say and by what I do. That might mean my example. And sometimes you know what it might mean? Sometimes, you know, God gave us a place to render punishment. And it's right on the bottom. And sometimes we might need to do that. You know, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father who delights in his son. Now that verse says that the Lord corrects His children just like a loving father corrects his. It's part of our God-given responsibility as fathers to correct our children, to sometimes spank them. But you know, we live in a society where many psychologists are telling us you shouldn't correct your children. Don't tell them that they can't do something, because if you say they can't, then that might hurt them mentally. You ever heard that? That's what's being taught in play. You got Dr. Phil on TV. I saw him one day. He's saying you can't spank your children. That would be wrong to do. And then there are homes where children seemingly have no discipline at all. I know of some Christians, not in this congregation, but I know some outstanding Christians, a man and a woman, and they're just kind, gentle, soft-spoken, nice people. But they have got children who are some of the rudest, most back-talking, belligerent children I have ever known. And I have thought, how did this outstanding Christian couple get children that act like that? It's this. They didn't start disciplining them. They didn't spank them when they needed to. You know, Proverbs 23 and verse 13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. The Bible says sometimes you need to do that. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth shame to his mother. The Bible says sometimes we need to apply the board of correction. And fathers, that's a God-given responsibility. Some people say, don't spank your child. That would be wrong. That'd be abusive. I'm going to call DSS or whatever the people is. They're going to call and report you. They say it's hateful. You can't do that. Proverbs 13:24 says just the opposite. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastens him oftentimes, at regular times, whenever he needs it. Now what this is saying is, there might, as people used to say, there may come a time that daddy needs to get the leather strap and take their son out to the woodshed. Now, some people say it's hateful. Some people say it's abusive. God says if you love your child, that's what you do. Children need to understand there are consequences for their actions. Well, Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. You know, Brother Marshall Keeble used to say it this way. He said, when children start sowing their wild oats, it's time for parents to start the threshing machine. And I like that. That's down to earth, but you get the point. All right? Here's our next point. A godly father is a man that heads his household. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 for a minute. I want you to look at this passage. It's talking about the qualifications of elders, but I want you to get this verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, just notice this phrase. One of the qualifications of an elder is that he be one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And verse 5 says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, these verses tell us two very important things about the role of a daddy. Number one, they tell us he has to be one who rules his own house. And number two, they tell us he has to have his children in subjection. Now, somebody might say, yeah, you're pulling that out of context. That's talking about elders. That only applies to elders. Only elders have to rule their own house well. Only elders have to have their children in subjection with all gravity. Is that what he's telling us there? That's not what he's telling us. The point of this is, any man, any Christian man, ought to be ruling his own house. That's the responsibility of every man. And he says, every man that has children ought to have them in subjection, but he's saying if a man's going to be qualified to be an elder, he's got to be doing it. And in fact, he says he has to do it well. And he says, here's the reason, because if he can't do that, that's his responsibility as a father and the head of the household. If he can't rule his own household, how in the world is he going to head up the household of God? You know, contrary to what the world would say, it is the responsibility of the daddy to take the leadership, the headship, the spiritual leadership role in the family. You know, one of the great compliments paid in the Bible to a daddy, to a father, was to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17, this is what the Lord said about Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. He's talking about what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm going to tell Abraham about it. And here's the reason. Verse 19. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The Lord said, I know Abraham. I know what kind of man he is. I know how He leads His house. I know how He leads His children. I know the direction He gives them. And as a result, I know that they will keep the way of the Lord. And so I'm not going to hide this thing from Abraham. Brethren, we need more men like Abraham. We need more fathers like Abraham who will lead their family. You know, we need more fathers like Joshua. You remember what Joshua said? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Joshua 24:15. He said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house..." What did he say? "We will serve the Lord." Love that passage. And so a man might say, "I'm going to take my kids fishing on Sunday night because I want to be a good daddy. Instead of going to the worship, I'm going to take my kids fishing. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." That's what we need daddies to say. That's how I'm going to be a good father. That's where it's going to start. Someone might say, "I'm going to let my kids go see these movies and watch these things they shouldn't, but all their friends are doing it. If I say them no, you know what? If I say no, they can't do that, I'm not going to be a very good daddy. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's what we need daddies to say. We need them to say, "I'm going to put the Lord first." Some daddies might let their kids grow up to be worldly and go to the dances and the prom and dress immodestly and little girls going out of the house in ways they should never because they want to be a cool daddy. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's what it means. I'm going to be the head of the household. I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to say no. We need more daddies like Abraham, more daddies like Joshua. You know, some families these days, they vote on everything. And everybody in the family has an equal vote. And I have to wonder, has the father lost his place? How is it the kids have an equal vote to the father? Father's supposed to be the head of the household. All right, let's move on here. Next, a good father is an example. And of course, this could go with the point of training. Because a father needs to train by his words, but he also needs to train by his example. Now, this is really where the rubber meets the road, because this is where training becomes more than just words. This is where words are put into action. And I think that as parents, sometimes we underestimate how powerful our example is. I was reading an article this last week. It was a question that was asked to 10-year-old Sunday school students in Brookside, New Jersey. These 10-year-olds were asked the question, "What's wrong with grown-ups?" How about that? You want to hear what they said? What's wrong with grown-ups? Number one, they said, "Grown-ups make promises and then they forget all about them. Or they'll say that it really wasn't a promise, it was a maybe." Number two, they said, "Grown-ups don't do the things that they're always telling children to do." That's interesting. Number three, "Grown-ups make mistakes, but they won't admit them. They always pretend they weren't mistakes at all or that somebody else made them." Number four, they said, "Grown-ups interrupt children all the time and think nothing of it, but if a child interrupts a grown-up, he gets a scolding or something even worse." Now, I could go on with the list, but here's the point that I'm trying to make. Adults need to be examples to their kids. Daddies need to be examples to their children. If I make a promise, I'm going to keep it. Because we might think a child doesn't notice it, but they do. I'm going to be one who tells the truth. If I tell my child, "When we get home, you're going to get a spanking," when we get home, you know what's going to happen? He might wish I didn't tell the truth on that one, but he's going to get a spanking. If I'm wrong, I'm going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm going to respect my children. I know sometimes children will interrupt and talk and talk and talk and talk. But you know what? I need to show respect for my children. I need to listen to them. I need to practice the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says the golden rule applies to everybody except your kids. You know, fathers, we need to keep in mind that we are teaching our kids by our example. We are. It may be a good lesson or it may be a bad lesson, but it is a lesson. My kids are always watching me and they're going to copy what I do. Sometimes that's scary. Sometimes I see my kids doing something that I did, and I know where they got it when I see them doing it. I know when they say something. I know when they tell a joke. I know where they got it. And you know what will happen? If my kids hear me praying, pretty soon when they pray, you know what's going to happen? They're going to pray the same thing that I prayed. They're going to use the words. They're going to mention the people. They're going to cite the same examples. But you know what else? If my children hear me curse, you know what's going to happen? The same thing. They're going to curse. And sometimes what happens, I've seen this with people on occasions, they'll have a little bitty toddler and he's just beginning to talk and he'll say a cuss word and everybody laughs and they think it's cute. Where did he get that from? He got it from mama and daddy or somebody that he's around. He's following somebody's example. Now just think about this. If a man chooses to live that way, if he chooses to live in sin, he's affecting more than just himself. I think sometimes people think, well, it's just me. If a man lives in sin, he affects God because he sins against Him. He affects his wife because he sins against her. He affects his children because he sins against them. It may affect his grandchildren. In fact, I read that psychologists say that one person's life will affect 10,000 people for a period of 150 years. Think about that kind of impact that you have. Now, it may be then that men, if we're not the fathers we ought to be, our children might be lost eternally. They may not obey the gospel. They will go eternally into hell, and I will be the one who helped to cause it. When we're not the fathers that we ought to be, we hurt a lot more than just ourselves. A good father is a proper role model. I heard a story a few years ago, and I was kind of foggy on the details of this. But it was about a daughter, a man's daughter who was killed in a DUI after her graduation. I can't remember if it was high school or college or whatever, but she was killed in a drinking and driving accident. After the accident, it was discovered that she was the one who had been drinking. Later, the dad, of course torn up, he went home and he found a note where his liquor had been, that his daughter had taken it, and she had left him a note in its place. Where did she get that? Where did she learn that? She learned it from her daddy. Here's the last point. A good father, a godly father, is to be respected. Now, I open this sermon with Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is again repeated in the New Testament in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Proverbs 17, 6 says, the glory of children is their father. Now that's an interesting verse to me. The glory of children is their father. What does that mean? If you turn out to be an outstanding individual who is godly and who has been raised right and a moral, upright type person, where did that come from? Most likely, the glory of children is their father. It came from training at the house. Now on this day in which the world has chosen to honor fathers, we need to understand that's good. We need to honor fathers. They're worthy of respect. We need to treat them in that way. Romans 13:13 says, render honor to whom honor is due. You know, I think the good old days of saying yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, those were signs of respect. I'm going to talk to my daddy. I'm going to say that because that's respectful. But you know, honoring my father means more than just giving him a card on Father's Day. It means more than saying yes, sir, and no, sir. It means more than the present that you might give him one day a year. Honoring my parents includes something else. You know, it may get to the point that my parents are aged and they need to be cared for. Honoring my parents includes that. You know, when you read in 1 Timothy 5 about a man who won't provide for his own, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, that's describing a situation where maybe a man has a widow in his family. Her husband's died. She's alone. She can't take care of herself. And so he takes her in and he provides for her. Or he provides for her financially. The day may come that I need to do that for my parents. That's involved in honoring my father and my mother. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, that would be a burden. Don't you think there was a time when you were a burden to your father? Don't you think they spent years spending money and raising you? And you know what else? I've got children. One day somebody may need to take care of me. And so we need to honor our father, honor our mother as well. But today we're thinking about fathers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. It may be this morning that you were raised in a Christian home, but for whatever reason you've become unfaithful. You need to know that the greatest thing you can do to honor your father is to repent, to make your life right and to become a faithful child of God. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. If you've got a Christian father and you have left the faith, there is nothing in this world, I promise you, there is nothing in this world that hurts him more than knowing that you are not faithful to the Lord. You want to honor your father? Return to the state of righteousness. If you want to honor your heavenly father, obey the gospel. Submit to His will. The Bible teaches in order to do that, a man needs to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ, and then be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Today, will you honor the Father? Will you submit to His will? Will you repent and be baptized? We would be delighted to help you this morning if you want to do that. Maybe you're here as a child of God. You've got sin in your life. Maybe you've left the faith. Maybe you want to be restored today and you desire the prayers of your brethren on your behalf. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?